Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth. Caleb Roebuck with me. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I'm good.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm unthawed from cleaning off the cars and a little bit of shoveling the walk to get the ice off and stuff, too. But good. I'm good this morning.
Absolutely. So it was bitter cold. You guys came in bundled up this morning.
It was, I know. Yeah.
So by the time I scooped a little bit of walk out here and put out a little ice melt, which takes about 5 minutes, my fingers were like already because I thought, oh, I'll just take a second. I didn't put my gloves on. Cold.
I know. I ran outside in just my sweatshirt, no coat, and no gloves to scrape it off and then ran back inside quickly. So, yeah. I think, thankfully, though, it looks like it's warming up later
this
week, though.
You're going to be wearing shorts and grilling on Friday. It's going to be 80 degrees Friday.
It's crazy.
There you go.
So we'll take it.
Amy Shipley. Amy, how are you?
Good morning. I'm up and at 'em too. How are you guys?
I'm doing very well. How was your weekend?
Good. Well, we spent most of Saturday, you know, bedding things and getting things fed and ready for Sunday. So, the cold came in and everything just chugging along. So
Everyone's doing well.
Yep. Everyone's doing well.
How's lambing moving along?
Lambing's moving along, kind of, you know, slow and steady, just having a few here and there. And we had a heifer calf in the nice blizzard yesterday. So we got one we had to bring inside in the sled.
Complained about our cold fingers cleaning off the car. Amy's like, shut up, guys.
A little bit.
You wimps.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about building rural wealth. So you're going to have to help me with this one, Caleb. So, or Amy, there's no right age, and you're freaking out anyway. What are we talking about, Amy? What is this even?
Well, today we're talking a little bit about Social Security and retiring. And yes, after this weekend, I was thinking more about it than I was last weekend.
Yep,
but, you know, Social Security is a simple name. And a surprisingly complicated set of decisions attached to it. So a lot of people feel like there's a pressure on them to find the perfect age to start, as if they chose wrong, then they'd be making a permanent financial mistake. So some of the things that we see people asking themselves are, like, if I start too early, am I leaving money on the table? Because if you wait a little while, your Social Security benefits increase.
Yes.
If I wait, am I giving up time and flexibility today, right? If I wait to start it, what if, you know, I'm giving up that early retirement income that I could be making instead? Mm-hmm. And then what if my spouse sees this completely different than I do? You know, a lot of times we find people, if one retires and the other thinks about retiring, what should we do? Should we do it together? Should I work a little longer? Because then the benefits of one, if the other passes away, could be greater.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, questions and a lot of pressure that people put on themselves to find the right time to do it.
Like you said, it sounds easy. You hear your whole, you know, I'm going to retire and draw Social Security and off I go. But it's really way more than that, isn't it? I mean, these are pretty consequential decisions, Caleb.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. It kind of can be, kind of feels like life and death for a lot of people. And, you know, some ways that decision kind of is because, well, we talked, Social Security is kind of, what Amy said, is kind of based on when you pass away and what that calculation is to some degree. But, you know, the stakes are high when it comes to your Social Security, you know, because that decision affects your income over many years, which, again, is naturally makes people cautious. And you paid into it for 20, 30, 40 years. So, you know, it makes sense. People want to maximize it, get the full value out of it, and get all plus more, hopefully, that they paid into it. But what adds stress is that many people, you know, feel forced to make a decision while still feeling unsure about those details. Like Amy said, you know, hey, maybe a spouse retires, so you go ahead and do it and turn those on, you know. But many people, you know, they don't fully understand, you know, how to claim, how it's taxed, what the survivor benefits are. They're fearful of making an irreversible decision, mm-hmm. you know, because after a while, you know, you can't go back and tell them to turn it off. There is some grace period there, but, you know, it's a pretty permanent decision. You know, confusion around spousal and survivor benefits, how those work together, or if, God forbid, a spouse predeceases you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and also we get, a bunch of us get conflicting advice from friends, family, online sources.
Surely not.
Yeah.
You should do this.
Well, exactly.
I did this. Right?
And that's kind of the age thing that Amy says. You know, everybody thinks, because everybody puts it based on an age, you know, hey, right. claim it at this age. Well, you know, there's a lot more factors than just the age. You know, especially like if you look at a couple with a family farm, you know, one person might work on the farm, one person might work out, you know, in a business. Well, they're going to have different retirement accounts that they're trying to sync together. They're probably going to have different start dates of what their retirement is, you know, and that causes a lot of stress just that alone of how do you sync those things up. So, you know, I guess the main thing too is, you know, anxiety about your Social Security doesn't mean that you're behind. It probably just means that the decision matters to you and you need to kind of refine it a little bit.
Okay. So based on what Caleb said, letting go of the perfect number, right, Amy? Do we need to let go of that perfect number? What do we do there?
Yeah, we do need to let go of that perfect number because it's not going to be based on necessarily your age, but your situation.
Okay.
Right? So I looked up a little statistics before we came in, and 62 is the earliest age that you can claim Social Security, and about 25% of people start then, whereas waiting until you're older, like until you're 70, only 10% wait until that age. So, and it's as time's gone on, it's gotten a little bit, the age has gone up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it still said like 2023, 65 was the majority, what does the average age that most people turn it on. But, you know, that decision is personal, and it depends on a lot of factors working together, such as your health and longevity.
Your partner's health and longevity, too.
Do you have other sources of retirement income? You know, if you're working a part-time job, or, you know, you've turned on other sources of income, maybe you can delay your Social Security a little while. Your lifestyle goals and your spending needs are something to consider. And also, like Caleb mentioned, your spouse, how you're coordinating with them. So there's a lot of different factors that go into defining what's the perfect number for you. So, you know, instead of looking for that, some questions that might help you along the way in deciding when to turn it on is, well, what does my income look like if I start now? You put your pencil to paper, mm-hmm. and kind of pencil it out and see, okay, if I turn it on now and I get this much, this is what it looks like. If I wait a year and my benefits are increased a little bit, what does it look like then? So do I have flexibility if life changes? That's another consideration you want to make. Like we said, once you turn your Social Security on, then it's on.
Okay.
So, for example, someone planning to work part-time or consulting, they might approach their timing differently than someone who plans to fully retire all at once and that paycheck just stops. So the goal isn't perfection. It's just aligning when to start with your lifestyle.
So put the perfect number away, 65 or 67 or whatever that perfect number is, and make it align with your goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Is a thing to do.
Right.
Well, and like one thing Amy just said too, like we talked to a lot of people now, like, hey, they might retire from their main job, but then they might go work part time or something elsewhere, but it might take them 3-6 months to decide that. But hey, if you just automatically, hey, just because I got to 65, even though I might consider part time working, just turn on your Social Security. Well, that could have some big impacts depending on how much you're making on Social Security with that earnings test, with taxes, things like that too.
Sure.
So sometimes it's like, I think what Amy said, that flexibility, having some of that time too, to like kind of figure out life as you do some of that can be very important.
So Caleb, are there myths around Social Security, when I should take it and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, just like that, I kind of touch on, hey, just because I'm quote unquote retired, I should go ahead and turn on Social Security. Well, does retired mean you're fully retired, or you might work part time somewhere else to supplement income? Again, retirement is different in today's age than what it is. But yeah, you know, and some of those common beliefs, they do tend to, you know, increase stress. You know, the one idea is that there is that magic age that works best for everybody. You know, Amy just mentioned some of the statistics. Well, hey, the average is 65. Well, you just go a quick search. Everybody sees that. All right, 65 is the average. That's what I'm going to do.
Uh-huh.
That's not necessarily the right answer. You know, another one is that, you know, always waiting produces the best outcome. You know, like Amy mentioned, you know, 70 is the latest age that you can claim it, which would maximize your benefit. But that might not be always the best thing, depending on health and family situations. And some people worry that claiming early reflects poor planning. You know, just because you turned it on at 62 doesn't necessarily mean, hey, that was a bad choice or it was poor planning. But again, it can if you haven't looked at some of those things. But, you know, in reality, you know, Social Security does work best when it is considered as part of the broader picture. You know, we can say, hey, it is one piece of your financial picture mm-hmm. with your income, with your investments. Again, it's a pretty big, significant piece, but it's not the only piece. You know, and that timing of when you turn it on has a big interaction with your goals, your family and health situation, and that comfort that you have with risk, okay. You know, too. And that's kind of what I say. The timing, you want that flexibility in timing or to be able to kind of pull that switch on your terms when you want to.
Yes.
You know, and another example, you know, a small business owner who can claim early, well, they can supplement their income from elsewhere maybe because they're still working in the business. So even though they're retired, you know, they still might be a consultant or working part-time. So that flexibility does exist. But again, you need a framework of how do you want to approach it, how are you doing it, and what is your spouse doing? Again, some spouses, you know, if there's an age difference, they do go to part-time where their other spouse is still working full-time. So there's some strategies in there as far as income as well.
Great information. Caleb Roebuck with me and Amy Shipley talking about Social Security. So instead of panic or freaking out, maybe just start asking some questions and learn a little bit, right, Amy?
Yes, absolutely. Because everybody's situation is different.
Right,
so you just
right.
want to ask yourself some, you know, questions when you're thinking about, should I turn my Social Security on now or not? You know, such as one of the questions could be, what does a typical year look like if I start my Social Security now versus later? How does this decision fit with my other retirement income? You know, one thing that Caleb just mentioned was the income test. Mm-hmm. And before I started working at Milestone, I didn't realize that, you know, there's a limit to the amount that you can make while you're claiming Social Security.
Okay.
And if you make over that amount, then you actually lose some of your benefits or they're penalized.
Yeah, if you're under your full retirement age, which for most people is that age 67.
Okay.
So.
Right. So that was a surprise to me because a lot of people, they want to go from working full-time to working part-time, but turn on their Social Security. And you have to ask yourself, well, wait a minute, what is my earnings going to be if mm-hmm. I do that? And am I going to be penalized? You don't want to do that.
Right.
So that's just another consideration that I don't think a lot of people know about. I didn't know about that mm-hmm. before I started. So that's something. And then which parts of this decision are flexible and which require more care,
okay.
right? So,
meaning less flexible, right? Yes.
Exactly. So visualizing some scenarios can make Social Security feel less like a trap and more like a series of choices for you. It's often helpful to think through your own context before bringing the conversation to a spouse or an advisor,
okay.
too. Because they might have ideas for you, but those might not fit what your plan is.
So be flexible.
Yeah. Well, and everybody kind of has their own opinion on Social Security. Regardless of what their benefit or the math says, everyone also just has a different opinion. Because, again, it's a system that we've all paid into for 20, 30 years. And, you know, there's always talk about its structure, its solvency, you know, those type of things, too. So, you know, there's just – I always say there's, like, kind of a math answer of the way we look at it, but then there's just a personal way we look at it, too, which is just as important because that personal one includes just your thoughts on it, your health, your spouse, you know, the timing, you know, those kind of things, too.
Yeah. Okay. Flexibility, though, I mean, you need to be flexible with this overall concept, right, of what you're going to do.
Yeah, and that's kind of the goal of, you know, all planning, all the financial planning that we do is how do you have flexibility and kind of put those things on your terms and have those things that you can use. But, you know, you don't have to, you know, settle everything immediately, which, again, when we talk about planning, it's like, all right, I got it all figured out right now today.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not necessarily the case, you know. Flexibility, you know, is somewhat of a luxury in retirement and financial planning because it allows you to do those things, you know, on your terms, you know. As life changes and Social Security fits into a larger plane, you know, that evolves over time. You know, taking time can help you, you know, clarify those priorities, actually know what that flexibility is. A lot of times we talk to, it's like people kind of have a good sense of where they're at financially, but when you kind of lay out, hey, no, you can make this choice at this time, 2 years from now or 5 years from now, that kind of can free a lot of that anxiety and reduces that stress. And you tend to have more productive conversations later, too, you know, about, hey, how do we think about this? What do we want to do? I am willing to coordinate, you know, incorporate this with my spouse's assets. You know, again, for example, you know, some couples plan for one spouse to start earlier and adjust as health, income, or family needs change, you know. So, again, in that example, you know, one spouse, you know, can claim earlier, but the other spouse kind of still has that lever in their back pocket to pull for extra income, depending on what life and aging and stuff like that does. And it helps, clients and us to better understand, like, the why of what they want to do, not only with Social Security, but what are they spending their money on? How do they want to do it? Like, what is the goals of some of this stuff, too, you know? Again, kind of we see sometimes, hey, I'm going to turn on both my Social Securities and everything, too, but we really don't need the income because we're still working. Even if you're still working or part-time, so then we always ask, then, well, what's the goal of the extra income then, you know? Right. You don't want to just to claim it just to pay taxes on it and, you know, let it sit in a savings account or bank account.
You mentioned the perfect plan, and there is no perfect plan, but you could have that plan completely ready to go today, and tomorrow it could change.
Yeah.
Based on a health diagnosis or all. That's why it's important to have the plan and to be flexible.
Exactly. That, yeah. So. Well, and that's what we say when we talk about this. Life is going to happen.
Yes.
So, like, we're talking about this
today,
before. Yeah.
But it can certainly change quickly. So, all right. Good information. You mentioned clarity. We've talked a lot about clarity in the last few weeks. Mm. So what does clarity look and feel like in this situation, Amy?
Sure. You know, we talk a lot about going from chaos to clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves planning. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing everything all at once, but it does involve having a plan. And we want to stress, you know, when it comes to retirement planning, Social Security, that you make decisions that are connected to your life, not somebody else's.
Yeah.
There's no one size fits all when it comes to it. And then anxiety tends to ease as your options become clearer. So talking with somebody about scenarios, which is what we do a lot with our financial planning clients, the what if scenarios. What if I turn on Social Security now versus later? You know, that can provide a lot of relief.
Yes.
It eases your anxiety. And also just having conversations along the way, you're going to become calmer. Things will become clearer. You don't have to feel like, okay, at age, boom, I need to do boom. At age, you know, 65, right, I have to turn on Social Security. No, not necessarily. You can start having conversations around it, you know, considering what your life is like at the time, what things are happening or may happen. Those are all good questions to help guide you and that we use with our when asking our clients, you know, what their situations are to consider when they're thinking about their retirement income. So moving from worrying about mistakes to feeling more confident that you've asked the right questions is just a goal that we have when we work with our clients and something for you to think about, too.
Clarity brings peace of mind. Everybody wants peace of mind for sure. And someone who has most people, well, people experience retirement one time and you want to make the correct decision. So with that comes stress. That, but you, Milestone Financial, you do this all the time. You help people work through those scenarios and make a decision that they're at peace with. So that's why they should visit with someone who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, Dan says a lot. You know, we've retired hundreds of thousands of times where you're only going to retire once. You know,
exactly right.
Well, and Social Security, again, you know, it is a piece. You know, we stress it is a piece of the puzzle, but it is a pretty big piece, and it is a decision that's stressful and normal. And I always kind of think, you know, what do people think, you know, once they've been on Social Security for 3-4 years? Once the checks just keep coming in, it's kind of like all this anxiety that I had before to make this decision, which is all real. It's kind of like once you make that decision, the checks start coming in and come in, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, it is, but then it's set. But that's why it is so important, because once it's kind of set, it is somewhat in stone. But, you know, just I guess for most people, you know, you're not behind. You know, there is no single perfect age. If you haven't looked at it, it's not too late, you know. And this is a decision that, you know, fits your life, your family, and your broader plan. And that's what you want to make sure you're looking at, what your advisor's looking at, anybody that's helping you. And, you know, some thoughtful reflection usually does lead to better outcomes, better understanding between you and your spouse, and better understanding of, you know, how are we going to spend this money in retirement? And also a big part that we're seeing too is like, what is the taxes? Does this affect other parts of our Social Security Part B, like Medicare premiums or things like that potentially and stuff?
It doesn't happen in a vacuum.
No, exactly.
It's not in a vacuum.
So. No. No, it doesn't. So, yeah, if you got questions, concerns, you know, anybody, please feel free to reach out to us, 712-623-5726. Or, you know, you can look up some more of this information or see more at our website at milestonefinancialgroup.com.
There you go. Check it out. Thank you much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Caleb Roebuck with us and Amy Shipley from Milestone Financial. It's been building real well.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
At Subway, every day brings you something fresh with the $6.99